WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Bibi Newworth, is best known for her role as Dr. Lilith Sternan Crane, the humorless, pretentious shrink who was married to Frasier on Cheers. Now Newworth is starring on Broadway in the revival of the Candor and Ebb musical Chicago. Who knew what a great dancer she is? Well, apparently Broadway regulars had a clue. She started her career singing and dancing in musicals like A Chorus Line and Bob Fosse's Dancin'. Fosse also choreographed the original production of Chicago. Chicago is set in the 20s. Newworth plays a vaudevillian charged with killing her husband and her sister. She and other women prisoners tell their stories in song and dance. The original 1975 production went for period clothes, but in the revival, the women are dressed in tight, black, scant outfits, a look that is both timeless and sinister and sexy. Here's Bibi Newworth performing the opening number.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car. I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz.
Bibi Newworth, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You know, watching you dance in Chicago, I thought, well, how could you possibly be content in a performance without dancing? You just dance so wonderfully.
You're actually right. I'm not completely content in a performance without dancing. I have been dancing since I was very, very young, and my first stage experiences from the age of 7 continuously have been in ballets and dancing, and so you're absolutely right. I really don't feel like I've given a complete performance unless I start, you know, kicking my legs around at some point, unless I start dancing. So as much as I have enjoyed a lot of the other work that I've done, I always do feel like something is missing from the experience. Something didn't get covered.
Now, I know that I think this is your third Bob Fosse musical. You were in a revival of Sweet Charity. You were in the mm-hmm. dance anthology show Dancin'. Could you talk a little bit about how Fosse choreography is different, how it uses the body differently than other choreographers who you've worked with? Or than ballet, even?
Yeah. Well, actually, I find that people who have very strong training in ballet do better actually with the Fosse choreography than those who lack the ballet background. If you ever saw the guy, and if you saw the way he stood and moved around a room and looked at you when he talked to you, you understand his movement. A lot of it is simply based on his posture. He was a little slope-shouldered, a little hunched. His hips were a little forward. He was a little knock-kneed and turned in. And wildly sexy without being, you know, in-your-face sexy. He was just a very, very, there was something really attractive about him. And it was kind of sly. And, you know, the way he looked up and looked at you, if you get the feeling of that, if you understand that, then you understand something about the movement that will make it not, that will fill out the movement. You know, you could technically replicate the steps, but if you don't understand that essence of it, then you're not going to really make the movement dance.
In Fosse choreography, there's a lot of like pelvis swivels and shoulder swivels and elbows moving. And
it's a lot of isolation.
Yeah. Yes. Did you have to learn how to move parts of your body that you hadn't thought of as dance parts before, or how to coordinate them in a different way?
No, I have to say, I don't know why, but it ever since the first time I saw Fosse choreography when I was 13 and saw Pippin, I just, that movement spoke to me, and it was quite clear and quite, I just understood it. And it made absolute perfect sense. You know, it sounds very simple, but it actually requires a great deal of control.
Mm-hmm.
And control physically, you know, that a ballet dancer has, especially the ability to be pulled up and very centered. And also, in a way, it requires a control taste-wise. Fosse choreography is never vulgar. It's very, very sexy. It's very, very sensual. But it is never vulgar, and there is a line. You could be doing hip isolations. You could be doing shoulder isolations, these very, very sexy moves. But there's something elegant about them always. They could even be part of a show that's based on vaudeville, which is a pretty bawdy medium. But there is something that is not... not vulgar. It is elegant.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Bebe Neuwirth, and she's now starring in the musical Chicago on Broadway. The cast recording of Chicago has just come out, and I want to play another track from it. I'm going to play your part of a song called Cell Block Tango. This takes place in jail, where you are being held on charges of murdering your husband and sister.
Yes.
And the part of the song that we're going to hear tells your story. So why don't we hear it?
My sister Veronica and I did this double act, and my husband Charlie used to travel around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Split, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. Well, this one night we were in Cicero, the three of us, sitting up in a hotel room, boozing, having a few laughs, and we ran out of ice, so I went out to get some. I come back, open the door. There's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead. They had it coming! They had it coming!
That's Bebe Neuwirth from the new cast recording of Chicago. You have a very deep, strong voice. Now, do you think that your voice has affected the kinds of roles that you've been considered appropriate for? And I'm thinking that often on Broadway, the women's leading roles often seem to be written for a higher voice.
Mm. Yeah, they have this sort of formula with most musicals, most classically... structured musicals, the leading lady is a soprano and who, you know, doesn't necessarily dance. Maybe she'll move around a little bit, but she's not a dancer. She's a singer and she's an ingenue and a soprano. And then she's got her best friend who's got a belting voice and she's a great dancer and she's tough as nails and has a heart of gold and she's funny.
God, that's so true, isn't it?
Yeah. So I played a lot of those parts.
The best friend?
Yeah.
What musicals are you the
Tough
best friend
nails,
in?
Heart of Gold. Sweet Charity. Nikki Pignatelli to Charity. Even Sheila, in a way, and Sheila in a Chorus Line is a similar type of part. West Side Story is a similar kind of a part.
Were you Anita? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done almost all of Cheetah Rivera's roles now.
That's true.
Thank God for Cheetah Rivera.
Because she originated the part in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. There's a number called Velma Takes the Stand, where Velma, my character, describes what she thought she just might do once she gets takes the stand in her trial. Ways to, you know, win the jury over. And... It should be very funny. And Cheetah Rivera was just amazing. And I was about 15 when I saw it. And just looking at that stage thinking, what the... God, I just couldn't believe what she was doing. She was fantastic.
Describe what happens with the chair.
Well, it's kind of hard to describe. I mean, I dance with it, on it, around it, on top of it, under it. I carry it, wiggle my butt. I lay out on it. It's I did a production of Chicago about 5.5 years ago with Juliette Prowse in Long Beach, California, and Chita Rivera called the theater on opening night. And she said to me, "You make very good friends with that chair." That was her advice.
Why don't we hear the song that you were just referring to, When Velma Takes the Stand? This is Bebe Neuwirth.
Well, when I got on the stand, I thought I'd take a peek at the jury. Then I'd cross my legs like this, you know.
When Velma takes the stand.
Then when Harrison cross-examines me, I thought I'd give him this. And if he yells at me, I thought I'd tremble like this. Ooh, no, please don't.
When Velma takes the stand. Look at little Velma. See her give him hell. Ain't she doing great? She's got to be counting on the bumper head.
Then I thought I'd let it all be too much for me, you know, like real dramatic. Oh. Then I thought I'd get thirsty, and I'd say, please, someone, could I have a glass of water?
When Velma takes the stand, see that Kelly girl make that jury whirl. When she turns it on, she's got to get going, she's got to go.
That's Bebe Neuwirth from the new cast recording of the musical Chicago. How does the revival of Chicago compare to the original 1975 production?
Well, we've really pared it down quite a bit. We let the script, music, and words and dance speak for themselves. We don't impose any period on the piece. I like to think of it as existing in no time.
As opposed to flapper costumes
as opposed
and feathers.
That's right. And
because it's originally set in the 1920s.
That's right. So it's as a vaudeville show. I mean, basically it moves as each number is a number, and the orchestra sits on stage in what amounts to a jury box. The cast members are lined up on either side of the stage, upstage to downstage, sitting in chairs, so that everyone is essentially a witness to what happens. And as we are all witnesses in this country to these grave injustices, and we see them. And it's interesting. I think the message is quite clear. There's beautiful set and beautiful lights that happen, but there's nothing to ingapach it up. There's nothing to, there's nothing to gussy it up. It's really the material. It is a human experience. And I think the audience really, really appreciates that.
My guest is Bebe Neuwirth. She's now starring on Broadway in the revival of Chicago. The cast recording has just come out on CD. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Bebe Neuwirth. She played Lilith, Frasier's wife, on Cheers. Now she's starring on Broadway in the revival of Chicago. How did you first get the role as Lilith on Cheers?
I was in Los Angeles for a couple of months. When we did Sweet Charity on Broadway, we had a run in California, San Francisco, and L.A. And then we had a few months off while Debbie Allen was finishing up her season of Fame, and she was our star. And then we were going to start up for Broadway in the spring. So during those months, I was in Los Angeles, and I thought, well, might as well, you know, see if I can pick up, you know, some television work, because I'd never worked on television. That was sort of all there was in Los Angeles for me. And so it was just a one-shot deal on the show, just a one scene in one episode. And I read for it. I didn't think I was right at all for it, but went in and read, and that's what happened.
And then after your performance, they wanted to enlarge the role?
Well, the following season, I guess that was in January, so the following season I was playing on Broadway in Sweet Charity, and they called up. They said, would you come and do another episode? So I went out and did another episode, and then that was in the fall, and then that winter they said, oh, could you come and do another episode? So sure, I went out and did another episode. And then after Sweet Charity closed, they asked me if I would do like, it was this thing where you would do 4 episodes and then there was an option to pick you up for a 7 out of 13 player, you know, a part-time player on the show. And I had a really hard time deciding whether or not to do that. I mean, I remember sitting backstage during Sweet Charity with Michael Rupert, and who was playing Oscar in the show, and after I'd done an episode or two, and he said, "Now, what would you do if they asked you to go out there and be on that show?" I said, "No way would I go out to Los Angeles and be on a TV show. Forget it. I'm on Broadway. I like Broadway. This is where I'm staying." And so I deliberated a very long time about that, and I had some, you know, advice from some people whose opinions I respect and are really smart about either me or about show business, and decided that it wouldn't be such a bad thing for me to do. And I'm very glad I did it.
You said that when you first read for the role of Lilith, you didn't think you were right for it. What was the role like that first time, and why didn't you think you were right
for
the part?
Well, the description of it was, I don't know, dry, no sense of humor, rigid, hair slicked back, intellectual, analytical, all this other stuff, you know, unattractive, older, also quite a bit older than I was. And all these things were, which were a description of parts that I would never have been sent up for. You know, as I said, I was always sent up for, you know, sexy, funny, tough as nails, heart of gold, you know, dancer, big belt. So it was a very unusual character description for me. And I actually was having a hard time cracking the script for a while. And then some character just occurred to me and really tickled me and made me laugh. So that was what I did at the audition.
See, that's the thing. You found a very funny way of playing somebody who's humorless.
Yeah.
And that, I guess that's the key. So can you talk a little bit how you did that?
I don't know. There's something funny about being humorless, isn't there? At least to me. I don't know. I think there's something funny about being really not funny at all.
I thought you were particularly funny during the pregnancy episodes, when it was as if you were the first woman ever to be pregnant.
Yeah,
and
right.
That you embodied all that is Mother Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, they asked me to do some good stuff on that show. They great writers, great producers.
Can you talk about the pregnancy episodes?
I liked it. This one time we went off to a cabin. Kelsey and I went off to, or, you know, Fraser and Lilith went off to a cabin. And she was pregnant, and I guess this is just because I liked the episodes where I got to sing. I thought it was really funny that Lilith loved to sing. And I think I was singing My Funny Valentine, pregnant, out there in the woods, freezing.
How did you sing as Lilith?
Well, I tried to sing pretty well, but I also tried to sing, you know, in her voice.
Could you demonstrate how that sounds?
My funny Valentine. But then they did a lovely thing. One time they had something about Lilith. I think the story was that the B story was that she had taken singing lessons so that she could sing to her child. And they did a really sweet thing when she sang this, what is it? It's an Al Jolson song, Sonny Boy. I actually got to sing Sonny Boy really sweetly to the baby, and it made everybody in the bar cry. That was fun.
I'll climb upon my knees, Sonny Boy.
Yeah.
Were you ever asked to be a regular on Frasier?
No. No, they never asked me to be a regular on Frasier.
Did you make appearances?
They don't need me. Yeah, I go on once in a while, but they really don't need my character on that show. Gosh, they do such a good... They do such a good job with this world that they've created. That's fine.
My guest is Bebe Neuwirth. She played Lilith, Frasier's wife, on Cheers. Now she's starring on Broadway in the revival of Chicago. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Bebe Neuwirth is my guest, and she starred in Cheers as Lilith and is now starring on Broadway in the musical Chicago. So you grew up in Princeton. Was your father a professor there?
No, he went to school there, but he's a mathematician and was working in town. He has taught occasionally there just for fun, but he works somewhere else.
Princeton, can I ask what kind of work you did? Or
Yeah, I think it's for sort of a quasi-government think tank, actually. I don't really know what he does. It's all classified.
Ah, oh, well, that must have been interesting.
Big secret.
Grow up with work that was a secret.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting during the war. It was pretty awful, actually, because he works for a place called the Institute for Defense Analysis, the Communications Research Division. And the students of the certain students at the university and in town got it into their heads that they were making bombs in the basement during the Vietnam War. So they sat in and demonstrated and painted the building and made my father's and our family's life pretty hellish, actually, for a while. Of course, my father is a, arch liberal pacifist and, would go out and sit on the lawn wearing his dashiki talking to the kids about the fact that they're not building bombs in the basement and, you know, saying as much as they could.
It must have been kind of mysterious to you when you were young that, you know, your father was a subject of such controversy.
It was very difficult. I remember sitting in the back of the car with my brother. I mean, we were little kids, my brother and I have an older brother. And my father in the front seat and having some bearded man walk in front of our car and violently give my father the finger. That's very unpleasant for a small child to see that. I suppose there were death threats. I know there were also, I went to a very small private school. It's a wonderful school in Princeton. And I remember being treated, again, not very nicely by some of the teachers there who may or may not have been finding a way not to be in the Army by being teachers. I'm not really sure about that, and I wouldn't judge them on that myself because who knows what I would do in a similar situation. But I don't think it's under any circumstances right to be cruel to a child because you think that their father is working to escalate the war, which I can assure you he wasn't.
So did this affect your attitude toward left-wing politics or toward hippies?
No, not at all. I mean, I tried as hard as I could to become one myself. A hippie, that is. And I tend to have very liberal leanings as in politics. I didn't see it as a political event. I saw it as an emotional, personal event. It didn't really. I knew that my father wasn't making bombs in the basement, and I knew that he was not working to escalate the war because he promised me that he wasn't. And my father's a good man and an honest man and has great integrity. And if he promises his little girl and his little son that he's not, I know he's not.
So you grew up in a college campus environment, even though you weren't on the campus. And the campus is such a big part of Princeton.
Right. And my father also was very active with his, alumni association and mm-hmm. all that. And
so what did you do for college?
Me? I didn't do nothing for college.
You didn't go?
No. I went to Juilliard in the dance department for 1 year. And, my parents said, okay, you have to go to college. So I auditioned for Purchase, State University of New York at Purchase, their dance department and Juilliard's dance department. And I got into both, and I picked Juilliard just because it was in New York City. I just wanted to go to New York and start working as a dancer. So I went there for a year, and then that was it. And my parents, in their wisdom, said, all right, we have provided for you to have 4 years of a college education. You can leave Juilliard, but make up your own college within the city, since that's what you would be doing at Juilliard. And, we will support you in that. Pick your ballet classes, jazz classes, singing lessons, acting lessons, whatever that is, and make up your own school day within the city, and that will be your college.
What a really wonderful thing to do.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So is that what you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I guess by 19 you were in Chorus Line.
They owe me 2 years.
You started making money by the time you were 19.
That's right. Well, and I have an older brother who was at Harvard for 4 years. So, it's a little imbalanced there. So they really came up with a good plan for me.
Do they come see you in shows now?
Oh, my gosh, do they ever. Yeah, they come all the time. Yeah, they're wildly supportive, wonderful.
Well, Bibi Neuwirth, a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bibi Neuwirth is starring in the Broadway revival of Chicago. The cast recording has just come out on CD.